quarterback who seems to have such kind of a boyish enthusiasm out there, and what kind of impact can that have on guys just to see him seem to enjoy himself out there as much as he does?
I mean, that's what we preach. I mean, we talk about positive work atmosphere and guys being excited about coming to work. And when you have guys like that, it can't help but have an effect on others. So just that contagiousness, especially when it's from the quarterback position. Here's a guy that loves the game, wants to win. He's passionate, but he's competitive. I mean, I think he showed that in the Tampa game a little bit, maybe a little too competitive. But that's one of the – we knew that. That's what we had – I mean, I'm very close with some coaches in the league that had been with him. And that's how they described him, and it was very accurate.
I'm not sure if you were – when you were talking about Danny being similar to Betonio, you were talking about that. Are you talking about the maturity? Because yesterday McCown was talking about how mature he is. He doesn't seem like a rookie. What have been your observations of him in that terms?
That is what I meant. Just if you were here as an observer and didn't have a flip card, you didn't know who he was, and just said, okay, pick out the rookie, he wouldn't be a guy that you'd identify early on, that he, although at times can be very immature, for the most part handles himself very professionally, gets his work done, but also very similar to Josh, has that type of personality too. You can tell he loves to play, loves being out there with his teammates, and that has an effect on everybody else.
And what kind of test, you obviously were with the Jets, what kind of test is Mangold going to be for him?
It'll be a good one, and that's why I was glad we got to go against Buffalo, because I think Eric Wood is he and Nick, having been with those guys in consecutive years, I think there's a lot of similarities in that style of play. So that Nick is a very intelligent veteran player, knows a lot of the tricks of the trade, and that's why it'll be a real good test for Danny. I've never been into the numbers, and I know I've said this before. Our business on defense is to affect the quarterback. If we're forcing the ball out quicker, and we're getting hits, and then that way later in the game when the quarterback starts to maybe see some ghosts, then we've done our job. Given our history and our reputation for pressure, that we'll play some teams that we'll look to get it out quick, or we'll max up the protection. So I don't get overly caught up in the numbers. I want to make sure that we're affecting them, that we're forcing the ball out early, we're forcing some errant throws.
In terms of applying more pressure, if I'm not assuming you think you didn't apply enough pressure last year, but if you think that, what are the reasons?
Well, I think also sacks and quarterback pressure are also a function of the situation in the game. When you have leads in the fourth quarter, when you have two-score leads, especially in the fourth quarter, when teams have to throw the ball, when it's very predictable, that's when pressure defenses thrive, that you're going to get hits, you're going to get sacks, you're going to get turnovers.
Where does Remus rank among the players you coach?
He's right up there among the best. I mean, just the way he approaches the game, his mentality. There are some players that'll go through the week and put their work in and then go out there and really turn it on Sunday. I mean, he is full go all the time. He is as relentless with his preparation as he is on the practice field, as he is on game day. I talk to our guys about, and I use him as an example, that you don't want to watch film, you want to study film. Don't tell me you watched four games. You studied four games. What did you learn from it? Where are your notes? And that he was, I think, one of the best I've been around as far as just detailed preparation, understanding receiver splits and formations and situations of the game, just to kind of hedge the bet a little bit, to have a sense of what was coming. And then carry that to the practice field. Ultra competitive. Never wanted a ball caught on him in a walkthrough. I mean, he'd accelerate to knock a throw down in walkthroughs, and then to me, my best story of his competitiveness was we were having a Friday practice. It was towards the end, and all of a sudden the play ended. We looked over, and he's rolling on the ground fighting with the scout team wide receiver. And the reason was is because the receiver was not running the route the way it was supposed to be run as the opponent had run it, that he was freelancing a little bit too much and wasn't giving him the right look. They exchanged words, and next thing I know, they had to be pulled apart. So, I mean, and that looks like there hasn't been any drop-off. And that's, to me, that's what separates them. That's what makes them great.
Mike, the first time you called plays as a coordinator, was there an adjustment to the speed of the regular season game? Or getting the plays in what you wanted to call?
No, I think the preseason prepares. Yeah, I think you also have to test yourself. You have to simulate that in practice. That's why that I did it, and it was something I learned from Rex, and something that I passed on to Jimmy O, is go ahead and test yourself in practice of the tempo, you know, getting them in quick, kind of simulating that game pace, that game rhythm. And then also when I went to Buffalo, I mean, I went to the other extreme, because we were up-tempo, no huddle, snapping the ball every 15 seconds in practice. So that was I called it much faster then. So that to me helped me as far as, you know, learning and just getting in the rhythm of calling it quickly.
Do you think there's any learning curve on the other side of the ball heading into week one?
I don't think so, because I think he's handled it. Practice situations, he's tested himself, and then also I thought there were very few times in the preseason games where I felt we were kind of up against the play clock. Even going back to the scrimmage, I think there was only one instance where it would have been a delay a game. So I think he does a good job of, as the play is ending, he's already getting the information from above, down and distance, hash mark, where are we on the field, and he's on to the next one.
You worked, obviously, with talking about Revis and also in Baltimore with Ed Reed and McAllister and those guys. Where is your current secondary maybe rank some of the ones that you've been a part of?
I think on paper you can make some comparisons, but as I talked about our theme for this year, you know, words in action. We talk about wanting to be mentioned among the elite. We have to go out and show it. We have to prove it, and that has to be the. You know, we've talked about, hey, we want to improve our run defense, but the backbone of us defensively is the secondary, and it's comforting to know that we have that confidence back there, and that we showed it on the field last year, at least statistically. But I still think at times we have a chance to close a game. We have to close a game. Like, if we don't want to be good, we want to be dominant, and that's the challenge for that room.
Does anything change how you use hammering practice during a regular season week as compared to training camp?
It does, just because of the circumstances of how we practice, what we're getting ready for. That he takes his reps with the twos. Now it's a little bit different on the day where we rest Joe Thomas, that he'll bounce around there some, but he'll get some left tackle work, he'll get some center work today and tomorrow. He'll potentially get moved around, but not as much. It's hard to base it off of preseason tape, knowing exactly what they're in and what his assignment was on a particular play. But Buster's being Buster. I mean, you can tell he's going 100 miles an hour. He plays hard. That was what we loved about Bus, that he was passionate about football and very competitive, and you know, practiced just as hard as he played in the game.
Any decision yet on whether or not you'll call Sean Drone up from the practice squad?
Yeah, I won't talk about pending roster moves. I mean, that's not that's been our practice. It will continue to be.
How do you give an update on whether Dick Johnson, how they recovered from that practice, how they got through Dick Johnson, Bo, Pryor, Mansell?
It was all positive. They'll all be out there today. I can safely say that.
How do you deal with criticism sometimes from the players? Obviously, you were a big part of the Jets book a couple of years ago. Camardi was obviously boarded in there. How do you deal with stuff like that? Do you go and talk to the player, or do you let it calm down and double back eventually? Or
I think you have to. It's hard to, especially when a competitive environment, and when things get escalated, it's hard to get anything done. I think it's best when you get a chance to step away and cool down and reflect on it. and I think the disagreements that I had with Crow were over, you know, his competitiveness, his just not appreciating criticism, where he's so competitive that he didn't want to get that minus on the grade sheet, or he didn't want to get called out. But I mean, I have a lot of respect for Crow. He's played at a high level in this league for a long time. I mean, I know certain coaching styles are not going to fit with 100% of your players, and but to me, he's one of the better corners that I've coached, and he continues to prove it now.
How did you guys leave it?
Two more, we got a wrap.
How did you leave it with him? Did you guys eventually talk it out, or how did that all end up?
We left on good terms. I could say that.
Hey, Mike, I know you're in the offensive meeting rooms way more than you were last year. Mm-hmm. Do you know what your role is going to be during the game as far as play calls and communicating with Flip?
Just to be there as a sounding board. I'm not going to get into it as far as suggesting plays, but just knowing what he wants to call in certain situations and how the game plan was set up, being a part of that now, that I can give him gentle nudges and reminders of, hey, don't forget you like this here, or hey, they're in this defense or this coverage, we like this. Just a extra resource for him. And then just the game management part of it, being much more involved with the offensive end of it, not leaving it up to the coordinator, now kind of knowing, having a much better sense of some of the things we have available in certain situations. And I think that's where Josh really comes into it. When you talk about having a coach on the field, I mean, you literally have a coach on the field in Josh, a guy that's been through it. And that's why we're confident that's a kind of a hidden part of the game with him. But he's very much in tune with a lot of those game management situations.
You mean like when to take him out or when to go for
it? Milking the clock and kind of changing the tempo. I think you have to vary tempos in this league to be successful. But to me, that comes with the quarterback. Sometimes the coordinator can control it with holding the call. But I think your quarterback has to kind of have a sense of, hey, let's that rhythm of you want to break the huddle at a certain time. But the quarterback controls all that. How long are you at the line of scrimmage? So that's why that's one thing that we're very pleased that we have in Josh.
Everyone knows you were very vanilla on offense. Every team is in preseason. You have to balance this to just let it all. You know, how much to let out the very first week? Is it a game plan situation depending on the Jets?
Well, I've always looked at game planning as you're tailoring a suit, that you never want to just pull a suit off the rack. That each game plan is custom made to that opponent. So a lot of the stuff that we've held back has been as a result of work that we did on the Jets throughout the offseason, practiced it, have it up for this plan. But then every week, I mean, usually we'll look ahead to the first quarter of the season in the offseason once the schedule comes out, and at least have preliminary game plan thoughts. But we worked primarily on our core concepts in training camp and in the preseason, but then have things that are specifically designed for each opponent as we start the year.